present Absolute Power by Mark Taverner, starring John Bird and Stephen Fry.
Psst, Charles, over here.
Over there.
Are you sure this is safe?
Of course it's safe. This is the Chris Evans fan club. Nobody here at all.
Good news, Charles. Downing Street is very happy.
Happy with the contribution of Prentice McCabe?
Well, that goes without saying. No. Happy with, well, everything. The polls are looking good, the economy's looking good, everything's looking good.
And you wouldn't say there's any danger of smugness or complacency?
What, us? Oh, no, of course not. We're New Labour.
There is such a thing as the arrogance of power.
Anyone talking about the arrogance of power is off message. And we wouldn't want that, would we? No. The good news is that I've got absolutely no work for Prentice McCabe at all.
No work? Nothing?
Absolutely nothing. We just don't need you at the moment. Things are just going too well.
But that's terrible.
Well, Charles, you're simply going to have to find yourself some new clients. After all, Prentice McCabe is a private company. Enterprise, Charles, don't want your agency becoming dependent on the state, do we? That's not very New Labour at all.
Archie, I feel sure that the range of services we offer...
Goodbye, Charles. See you around.
Archie, I would like a moment of your time. That's exactly what I got.
Sandy, if this is the vexed question of wages, now is not a good time.
No, it never is.
Let me put it this way. Are you familiar with the concepts of liquidity and cash flow?
Well, no, not really.
Oh, pity. I was hoping one of us might be.
Do you mean you haven't got any money?
That is the nub of the essence of the gist, certainly.
Well, actually, that's not really what I wanted to see you about.
Oh, I see. Well, in that case, you know you can rely on my support, my help. You don't want to talk about money. Wonderful.
See, I went to visit my dad yesterday.
Ah, how is the old crook? And I say that supportively and helpfully.
Well, actually, his parole hearing comes up in 2 weeks.
Does it really? My word, doesn't time fly. Well, no, actually, I suppose it doesn't if you're in strange ways.
And I was telling him about your unique range of contacts at the highest level of government.
Yeah, it never fails, that one, does it? I can't positively recall an occasion when it worked, mind you.
And what we're thinking was, well, perhaps Prentice McCabe could use its influence. You know, put in a word.
Put in a word? Use our influence?
After all, I mean, I have done a lot of work since I came in.
Yes, indeed. You've certainly benefited from the Prentice McCabe high-quality training package.
And you've benefited even more. So you could be said to owe me a favour.
Well, look, Sandy. Sandy, I'll tell you what I'll do.
Yeah?
I'll talk it over with Charles.
I did want this to be civilised, Charles. We live in such a brutal world.
Indeed we do.
And I'm told, I did ask around, that the civilised way to tell a chap he's no longer wanted is over poached eggs at Claridge's. Well, here we are.
I think I'll have a kipper.
No, you'll have the poached eggs, Charles.
No. I woke up this morning, looked out of the window and thought, kippers.
Are you ready to order, madam?
My companion will have the poached eggs.
Couldn't I have them boiled? Fried? Scrambled? Look, throw a couple of eggs at the wall and I'll lie underneath and catch the drips.
One kedgeree, poached eggs, and let's have some champagne.
Certainly, madam.
You see, the thing is, Charles, I go through our company accounts and I notice monthly payments to Prentice McCabe Government Media Relations. And I have to ask myself, what are we getting in return? What is a government media relations agency?
We have a unique range of contacts at the highest level of government. It's never worked, that one, has it?
And sometimes I have to make tough decisions. It's a question of being tough, dynamic and flexible. That's just the business world.
One kedgeree, one poached eggs.
Charles, do I look dynamic and flexible to you?
Martin, the game we are playing is a very simple one. Either we make a profit or we go bust.
Well, it's a silly game and I don't want to play. It's vulgar.
It's capitalism.
It's not English.
Martin, the English discovered capitalism.
Yes, but we gave it away pretty quickly, didn't we? We went to the Germans and the Americans. We said, we've just discovered capitalism. We don't want it. You have it.
This agency, like it or not, depends on a relentless flow of high-powered business leaders offering high-powered money for the unique Prentice McCabe package.
Oh, Charles, can I lie down for a minute?
That's negativity, Martin, the old way of doing things. Those are the forces of conservatism.
I like the forces of conservatism. What's wrong with the forces of conservatism? meeting old George for a pint and thinking, God, he's even more boring than he was last Friday, but at least he's still there. Turning on the Today programme and thinking Sue McGregor doesn't get any better, does she? But at least she's still there.
Martin.
Being insulted by shop assistants. I wonder if you can help me. No, I'm on my break. But at least she's still there. Well, she isn't there. She's on her break.
Martin, we adapt to the forces of progress.
Prats with mobile telephones.
The forces of progress.
New ways of working. Do as you're told or you're sacked.
The forces of progress, Martin.
And you can't even get home and flip on the telly. You need 15 remote controls, a widescreen digital multiplex cinema, 300 channels and all of them showing rubbish. I hate the forces of progress. People who say to you, have a nice day, and you smile politely because you're English, when what you want to say is my day is none of your damn business.
Martin, I can see where you're coming from on this one.
And you know what I really hate? Dynamic women. Dynamic women are the absolute and utter flaming limit.
Good morning. I mended the photocopier, done the filing, and I sorted your correspondence, Mr. McCabe. I've put the one from Sir Harold Dixon's lawyer on the top.
What?
It's nothing to panic about, Charles. The Dixon account is receiving my urgent attention. Put it over there somewhere, Sandy.
There's a gentleman outside. He says he hasn't got an appointment, but could you possibly see him?
A client? A client? You see, Martin, they're flocking to the doors of Prentice McCabe. High-rolling, high-flying, decision-making...
It's the Bishop of Bath and Wales. Would you like to come this way?
Gentlemen?
My Lord Bishop. Prentice McCabe is at your service.
But only if you're a high-rolling bishop.
Gentlemen, God moves in a mysterious way.
So do the forces of progress, by the looks of it.
And that's why I've come to you.
Would you like some sherry?
Martin, the bishop doesn't want alcohol at 10 a.m.
A sherry would be delightful.
Oh, some sherry. Oh, well, of course, sherry. Yes, sherry, Sandy.
It's in the cupboard outside.
What shall I put it down as?
What?
For my MVQ.
Oh, never mind that now.
But I've got to have a heading.
Serving the needs of management.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Do sit down, Bishop. Or, would you prefer to kneel? I don't know, we have a cushion.
Gentlemen, I have come to you because I want you to save the Church of England. We are, as I expect you chaps would put it, losing market share.
Would we put it like that, Charles?
Oh, yes, that's exactly how we'd put it. What precisely do you mean by that?
I mean that no one is entering our establishments and buying what we have to offer. Over 70% of the population believes in God. Why can't we get them to come to church?
It's a fascinating question.
One we've often asked ourselves.
But what exactly does this have to do with Prentice McCabe?
Well, I'm speaking with the full authority of the Archbishop. I want you chaps to do what I believe you call a product relaunch.
You want us to relaunch God?
In a sense, yes. I want you to put the Church of England where it belongs.
After Rolf Harrison, before Dad's army.
At the centre of our national life, there is a moral vacuum in the nation's soul. A vacuum where the Church ought to be. I may say that you come most warmly recommended. I understand you deal at the very highest levels of government and industry.
Do we?
Yes, we do.
Oh, yes, we do, yes. But relaunching the Church of England, you're asking for a miracle. Well, mind you, I suppose people do in your neck of the woods.
It's a challenge, Martin. Your Grace must forgive my unspeakable vulgarity if I turn to the subject of mammon.
Mr. Prentice, the Church of England is well able to pay your fees.
Oh, in that case, the challenge is irresistible. Splendid sermon, Vicar.
I particularly enjoyed Life is Like the Ferry from Dover to Boulogne. I can't think why that had never struck me before.
And how very hip, if I may say so, to take as your theme our love for our fellow animals.
Oh, you found it stimulating?
Oh, my word, yes. Which of us has never stoned a crow? That question will live in the mind.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I did so enjoy the two ladies with their experimental tambourine. It wouldn't surprise me to see them booked for an extended season at Ronnie Scott's.
Stranger things have happened. He moves in a mysterious way.
So did the tambourine.
You see, I like my congregation to be happy.
Well, I think they both were.
May we hope to see you next Sunday?
A bit difficult, unfortunately.
Next Sunday, oh dear.
We do hold services during the week, of course.
Yes, I tell you what, we'll ring the advance box office and see what's available, all right?
It's impossible, Charles.
Well, think of the church as an ailing business. We are its management consultants. What do we recommend?
Oh, I suppose the usual things. Modernise, downsize, go into partnership with private industry.
But Martin, I scarcely think we're going to remove the deep-seated problems of the Anglican faith by renaming it the Church of St. Woolworth's Without. No, we need to be more fundamental. Why don't people go to church?
Because they don't see any reason why they should.
Yes, that's good.
No, it isn't.
No, no, you've identified a vital aspect of the problem. Here is a product that people don't realise they need. Now, let's look at the marketplace. Is there a rival firm doing things our client ought to be doing?
Well, the Roman Catholics are still thriving.
Exactly. The C of E is playing to empty houses all over the country when the Pope is packing them in like Andrew Lloyd Webber. Why?
Oh, well, have you got the results of that research survey?
Can I have a quick word?
We're a bit tied up at the moment, Sandy.
I just wondered if you'd had a chance to mention to Mr. Prentice, you know, what we talked about.
Oh, yes. Well, actually, no. But I haven't forgotten.
No, of course not. I would have typed your letters, only I forgot.
Would I be right in thinking that our Sandy is not her usual sunny self this morning?
If she's worried about her father. His parole's coming up, the miserable old sinner. Actually, I did promise I'd mention it to you. Sandy wants us to use our influence.
Does she? Oh, dear.
Of what did God die?
I'm sorry?
It's one of the questions we asked in our research survey. Of what did God die? Now, listen to this. He committed suicide because everyone stopped talking to him.
That's rather good. And for our purposes, completely useless.
Yeah, no, and listen to this. God did not die. He signed an exclusive deal with Sky Box Office and is only available on satellite and cable. And this one, God died because he heard Cliff Richard and did the only decent thing under the circumstances. Hardly the basis for a corporate strategy, is it? Charles, you seem distracted.
I know that at some point today you said something intelligent and important, Martin. I only wish I could remember what it was.
Well, 27% of people polled...
No. It was nothing to do with the research survey. What were we discussing before that?
You said you'd like to help Sandy's dad.
And you said his parole hearing's up in 2 weeks. The miserable old sinner. That's it. Sin. Sin, that's the corporate strategy.
It amazes me you can get like this after 2 glasses of Chardonnay.
No, listen, Martin. Margaret Thatcher. Did anybody actually like Margaret Thatcher?
Don't be ridiculous.
But everybody voted for her, didn't they? And why? Because she served everybody right. She made people suffer and they came back for more.
Time after time.
Precisely my point. Now, look at the Bells and Smells Brigade, the left-footers. Do they pack their congregation in by telling them how wonderful they are? Of course not. Their message is, you're all miserable sinners, you better get to church fast. And that's where the Anglicans are getting it wrong. They tell people to be happy and clappy when they should be giving them a slappy on the nappy.
Have you been a naughty boy? Ring Canterbury 461932.
Exactly.
Charles, I don't think we can revive the Church of England with a series of suggestive postcards in phone boxes.
Oh, we'll do better than that. We'll run a poster campaign nationwide. Let's spend some of the bishop's money. And time for you to start writing some speeches.
It is a pleasure and a privilege to be with you today at the annual assembly of the Mothers of Christian Invention. My friends, just you wait, Henry Higgins, just you wait. You'll be sorry, but your tears will be too late. And that, in a very real sense, says it all. You know, I find at the start of this new millennium, we are all asking ourselves, who are we? I want this afternoon to offer an Anglican perspective on that question. If I wanted a word to describe the British people, that word would be pestilential. We are a nation wallowing in a cesspit of moral depravity, obsessed with greed, lust, and football. We are told that the economy is booming. We are told that we are the fifth richest nation in the world. Well, I say to the government, humbug! I say to our political masters, hypocrites! I say, wipe the grin from your self-serving, self-satisfied faces. This is not a time to be smug and complacent. This is a time to think on your sins.
Do you think it would be unreasonable of me to suggest that the Church of England has gone off message?
Church of England? Off message?
Well, I don't think anyone notices the Church of England's message nowadays, do you?
You think not? So nobody's noticed the poster campaign?
Poster campaign?
Poster campaign for the dear old C of E. Has there been one?
Gentlemen, the Prime Minister was returning from a speaking engagement in the North last night when he was confronted by a billboard, an enormous billboard, saying, "Don't make me come down there, God." And this was right at the entrance to Watford Gap Services Station.
Well, I expect that comes under the heading of celestial restaurant criticism. Scarcely important, is it?
Well, 10 minutes later, in the Romford Road, there were two posters. One of the Prime Minister smiling and the strapline, "New Labour Britain, the place to be." Right next to it was a picture of Dante's Inferno and a caption saying, "I told you not to listen to false prophets, God." I mean, since when did God become leader of the opposition?
I've always rather thought of him as a liberal democrat.
I mean, what has got into these people? Centuries of quiescence, of being the epitome of reassuring irrelevance. Everyone wants to know the Church of England is there, but no one wants to go anywhere near it, like county cricket or BBC One.
Don't you think this nationwide poster campaign can be simply dismissed as the last tortured death throes of millennial angst?
That's utter rubbish.
Well, it is, but it has a certain pleasing rhythm.
Gentlemen, I would not wish you to underestimate the seriousness with which the PM regards this matter, after a particularly objectionable thought for the day this morning.
I heard it. Something to do with the British people being obsessed with materialism and the retail price index.
Indeed.
And the chap finished off, "If thine RPI shall offend thee, pluck it out." I wonder who wrote that.
Yes, I really can't imagine.
Now, obviously, the government cannot be seen to intervene in the affairs of the church.
But Prentice McCabe could, if we were still on our generous retainer.
Charles, I want the Church of England back on message. All this nonsense about sin making people feel miserable. What on earth has got into them?
The Bishop of Bath and Wells is here.
You didn't order a bishop, did you, Martin?
No, mine's the tuna mayonnaise on brown. The bishop... The bishop must be yours, Charles.
Bath and Wells. Oh, yes, he's an old school friend.
Oh, really?
Yes, yes, very old, yes. It's amazing, isn't it? One minute a chap's skiving off Rugby to firebomb the tuck shop, next minute he's the Bishop of Bath and Wells.
Mr. Prentice, I've nearly finished the typing.
Oh, good.
How many P's are in depravity?
So, Canterbury is delighted... And Downing Street is disgusting.
It is a bit thick, Charles. I mean, here we have one very satisfied client. The Church of England is commanding more attention than it has done in decades.
Yes, I know what you mean. We seem to have done some of our best work on this account. Sir Harold Dixon would give his eye teeth for some of this stuff.
Even so.
Yes, quite. For us, the wishes of number 10 must come first. The government's generous retainer must at all costs be retained.
Yes, we can hardly rest the financial future of Prentice McCabe on some here today, gone tomorrow theory of eternal salvation.
The time has come for a wheeze.
The problem is, Charles, you've been too successful.
I suppose there's always the classic.
What?
Well, the bishop is due to address an ecumenical gathering on the 2nd of this month. Now, if you recall, we were asked to provide some suggestions about what he might say.
Oh, yes. What shall it profit a man if his property goes up by 20,000 and he loses his own soul? His lordship wanted, what was it? Lashings of misery.
Yes. Now, if in delivering his lashings of misery, the bishop were to appear conspicuously merry...
What? The laced drinks, wheeze, honestly, Charles... The Queen's Master of Wheezers, the Emeritus Professor of Wheezers in the University of Oxford, Honest Charlie, Purveyor of Wheezers to the Gentry, reduced to achieving a political objective by lacing a bishop's tipple. Pathetic.
Well, you suggest something.
Reason with him. Put it to him that Downing Street would look favourably on a slight change of tone.
This is a free country, Mr. Prentice. Are you suggesting that the church, a church with a deep love of liberty, is required to be on message? That we are all required to sing New Labour's company song? That even the church is required to toe the party line?
Yeah, that's about it. That's a very useful canter around this particular course. That's exactly what we're suggesting.
Let me put it this way, my lord. You have every right to say exactly what you decide.
Good.
However, when the seat of Canterbury next falls vacant, Downing Street will not be uninvolved in the selection process. A candidate who in the past has been cooperative...
But that's a disgraceful suggestion. Are you implying that I became a bishop out of personal ambition?
Well, it will be an odd direction for personal ambition to take, I grant you.
After all, Mr. Prentice, it was your suggestion. Lay the emphasis on sin, you said, and lay it on thick.
You did say that, Charles, yes.
Look at the success of Margaret Thatcher, you said.
You did say that, Charles.
Yes, I did say that, yes. Martin, why don't you go and drink a cocktail while the ice is solid and the glass is crushed?
Gentlemen, my mind is made up. My message will be stern and unbending. Statistics of economic success are the indicators of moral emptiness.
It's a very nice place, Canterbury. 4 weeks' holiday and luncheon vouchers.
Mr. Prentice, I have no interest at all in being the next Archbishop of Canterbury.
Haven't you? Oh, bugger, my lord.
Really not happy about this, Mr. Prentice.
Sandy, there's nothing to it.
No, I really don't want to do this.
Oh, may heaven preserve us from a youth trainee with a conscience. Sandy, it's a vital part of your NVQ.
Is it?
Of course it is. Look, Unit 6, keyboard skills. Unit 7, efficient filing. Unit 8, getting a bishop smashed out of his cassock.
Charles, if Sandy doesn't want to do it, she doesn't want to do it.
Well, you and I won't be able to. Look, at considerable trouble, I have managed to broaden Sandy's experience by getting her a place at the Episcopal reception.
As an unpaid waitress?
On one level, as an unpaid waitress. But think of the opportunities to meet the movers and shakers of the Anglican Church.
And to put vodka in the sherry.
But in particular, to meet the movers and shakers. I do feel it could be to your advantage.
I'm sorry, but I don't think so.
Such a promising career, so prematurely ended.
Well, at least we've come to the right place, Charles.
In what sense?
Well, we're about to be told to put away material things. 10 minutes after that, we'll lose our government contract and go bankrupt. It has a certain pleasing symmetry.
Ladies and gentlemen, our main speaker today is noted as perhaps the most eloquent, the most compelling speaker in the Anglican movement, and, indeed, in the church as a whole. The Bishop of Bath and Wells.
My grace, your grace, amazing grace. We are all of us miserable sinners. Oh, yes, indeed. Very miserable. Dear, oh, dear. I've never seen such a miserable collection in my life.
Charles.
Hush, Martin.
We have done what we have left undone and left undone when all is said and done. And let me put it this way. I know a fat old bishop who's never sad at all. And one night after evensong, a sinner came to call.
Charles, the sherry.
Shh, Martin, the bishop is giving it welly.
Relieve the burden of your soul, for you, the Lord, has died. Then he heard the man's confession and laughed until he cried.
I particularly liked the bit where he said, and it's a big hello to my boss, the Archbishop of Canterbury. Hi there, Arch.
Yes, and then he said, some people think I'm after his job, but I watched the Archbishop on Millennium Night and I thought, what a plonker. To want his job, he'd have to be clinically insane.
Yes, I shall watch his future career with considerable interest.
Of course, the Methodists were appalled.
I met a Roman Catholic priest in the lobby afterwards. He said he hadn't seen a member of the clergy lit up like that in 20 years, not even in Dublin.
Of course, it does rather weaken the church's message about sin.
I think I did detect a certain weakening of the intellectual backbone, yes. The Archbishop has issued a new message. Apparently, it's all right for people to be happy-ish, to feel positive-ish.
And Downing Street is happy-ish.
Congratulations as usual, I believe, was the email.
You know, Charles, I feel rather like a humble member of the audience asking a magician how it was done. I must confess to some astonishment as how even the Wheeze Master General got Sandy to change her mind.
Well, thank you, Martin. It was a question of carrot and stick, really. It was
all about finding the right inducement. Her father's parole hearing is in 2 weeks, as you told me. Well, I put it to her that a personal intervention from the Archbishop of Canterbury would not be unhelpful. This sort of intervention that could only be achieved by Prentice McCabe.
And will he intervene?
He will now. He has decided, in the light of his bishop's rather eye-catching contribution to the national debate, that in the matter of sin, the church's business is to forgive it. Oh, yes, he's been most cooperative.
An email.
Ah, from Downing Street, no less. In the interests of national morale, the PM feels it would be helpful for an England sports team to win something. Will Prentice McCabe kindly arrange...
An England sports team to win something? Charles, even Prentice McCabe can't manage that.
Martin, I think the time may have come to pray.
You've been listening to Absolute Power by Mark Tavenant, starring John Bird and Stephen Fry, with Siobhan Hayes, Tony Gardner, John Rowe and Alice Torrance. The music was by Matthew Scott. The producer was Paul Schlesinger.